You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 3rd of December 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming live today at RadioAlbion.com because we have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Matt, good day, sir. I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving the other week. Did you have a nice day off, a good Thanksgiving?
I really did. You know, it was one of the best I've had, probably the best in my life. And I'm really happy that everyone liked the my broadcast yesterday, though I do apologize for the weird sound quality. I guess my excitement got the best of me, and I was too close to the microphone. So I'm sorry about that.
No, it was a really good podcast. Don't worry about the sound. It wasn't too bad. The podcast itself, I thought, was really interesting. So much information there on so much fraud and corruption that's going on in the American election. And while all our eyes are on that and we're concentrating on that, we tend to miss some of the other things that are going on around the world. And over the last week, we've had another assassination in Iran of an Iranian scientist. And this is something that is quite common. I believe this is about the fourth or the fifth of their scientists that have been assassinated. And the allegation is that it was Israel responsible for this. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And not just, it's not just Iran that have actually been identifying Israel. An unidentified Trump administration official has blamed Israel for last week's assassination of Iran's top nuclear scientist, CNN says, following an earlier New York Times report citing anonymous US sources fingering Tel Aviv. And of course, I mean, this is anonymous sources, isn't it? So we don't really know if this is the truth or not, but they are. It's CNN that are saying this. We know they come out with a lot of fake news. They are saying that a Trump administration official has blamed Israel. The latest senior official to attribute Friday's killing of Iranian nuclear physicist Mohsin Fakhrizadeh declined to say whether the US knew about the attack in advance or participated in any way, CNN said on Wednesday. The person acknowledged that the US and Israel have previously shared information about covert operations before carrying them out, but refused to say whether that happened in this case. Matt, what do you think is going on here? Do you think America knew about this? Do you think that there is an actual Trump administration source that is blaming Israel for this? What's going on?
Well, the American media, as always, is absurd. They take press releases as journalism. The whole point of journalism is to get behind the official rhetoric and to try to find out what's going on, which is not what they do. Israel has been killing Iranian nuclear scientists for a decade now. Sometimes successfully, sometimes unsuccessfully, to the point where even institutions like the RAND Corporation or even major media have been forced to admit that this is what's going on. I can't even keep up with the number of killings. By 2010, there were probably a half dozen, all killed the exact same way, an explosive device, either in the car or at the entrance of his house. Then, of course, there is the Stuxnet virus, which was designed to have Iranian civilian nuclear facilities completely melt down, slaughtering God knows how many people if it got out of control. The uranium enrichment plant back in 2012, just over, you know, between 2010 and 2012, there were three. No one denies anymore that this is Israel's doing. And we'll get into some more detail there later, but this has been Israeli policy since at least over the last 20 years. So there's nothing new here.
So it really doesn't matter that much that there's a supposed Trump administration official that's saying this, because it's just common knowledge. We also had General Soleimani. He was assassinated earlier in the year, but that was by America. I mean, all of these acts are really provocations for war, and yet we don't really hear the UN pointing that out, that these are provocations to war. Well, the actual murder itself, there seems to be some confusion as to how it took place. Fakhrizadeh's convoy of bulletproof vehicles was driving to Absad, east of Tehran, when it came under attack. Iranian accounts of the incident shifted sharply on Sunday, with a semi-official Fars news agency saying Fakhrizadeh was shot with a remotely operated machine gun after exiting his vehicle to investigate why it had stopped. Previous reports indicated that a 12-person commando team ambushed the convoy and was helped by a 50-person logistics group that infiltrated Iranian security services and cut off power to the area just before the attack. So we've got three stories going on there, really. Perhaps they came out with this story at first that it was lots and lots of people, because they didn't want to admit that it was just one remotely operated machine gun. And maybe the evidence has come out and they've had to admit that. Perhaps it was a combination of all three. What do you make of the story here, Matt, of how it happened?
Well, the remote-controlled machine gun, I think on a robot with like tank treads on it, and the convoy stopping without an explanation, that comes from a movie, which it just occurred to me, and for the life of me, I can't think of the name. Maybe when we're done, I'll go find it. Almost the exact same situation in a Hollywood movie just maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I think that's very interesting. There's been all kinds of stories. The Israelis and the Americans and the Saudis create all kinds of diversionary tactics. But the Iranians said about 10 years ago that they uncovered Israeli training camps, terrorist training camps, to the west of them. And I'm not sure precisely what they mean by that. Probably in occupied Iraq. So again, the Israelis training, whether it be Arabs or whatever, to go into Iran and commit terrorist acts against civilians. Remember, these are all civilians here. This has been going on for a long time, and the Iranians have been uncovering this one after another after another. And remember, you know, there's an entire Iranian bureau to Mossad and to the IDF. Thousands of these agents know how to speak the language, no problem. All Mossad agents, as you know, have to speak Arabic, and be no different than the Persian, the traditional Persian languages, and Afghani languages. So there's nothing new here. Again, I wish I could think of the damn movie's name, but I can't. Throwing out different stories, deliberately causing confusion, Pompeo trying to blame like the Saudis for this or something like that. This is all typical. It's happened after every single one of these incidents. But the blame here isn't really controversial.
Well, I would say that Iran have got quite a serious security breach if a 12-person commando team can just ambush a convoy helped by a 50-person logistics group. I mean, what's that, 60 Israelis that have managed to infiltrate somehow? 50 of them infiltrated Iranian security services. Well, where are they? Have they arrested any of these people? I mean, we just don't know exactly what went on here. Well, did President Trump know about this? Like CNN, the New York Times said it was unclear what, if any, knowledge the Trump administration had of the attack beforehand. The assassination came 1 week after U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visited Israel on a trip that also included stops in Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. President Donald Trump has given Pompeo and other administration officials carte blanche to punish Iran as aggressively as they wish, as long as they stop short of risking World War III, the Daily Beast reported on Tuesday. Iranian officials were quick to blame Israel for the murder of Fakhrizadeh and have vowed revenge. Israel has claimed that Fakhrizadeh headed Iran's nuclear weapons development project. Iranian officials have repeatedly insisted that the country's nuclear investments are for peaceful purposes only, and the International Atomic Energy Agency said the nuclear weapons program ended in the early 2000s. Well, we've got another media report here, and I don't know how well we can rely upon the Daily Beast. I mean, where else is this reported that Trump has given Pompeo and other administration officials carte blanche to do whatever they like to Iran, so long as they just stop short of starting World War III? I mean, that sounds a little bit exaggerated to me. What do you make of this, Matt?
Yeah, I think it's absurd. Anything can risk World War III. I don't know what they mean by a world war, because technically it would be, you know, Israel, Iran, and the U.S. I think they're trying to drag other powers like China and Russia into this. Oh, by the way, the movie was called The Jackal, and it came out in 1997. The assassination story, anyway, precisely and exactly from that movie. What people don't realize is that you can't get nuclear weapons from nuclear power plants. Most people think that's the case. You can never get nuclear weapons. It's a completely different chemical and a completely different process. And the Israelis have been involved in deliberately making, you know, trying to claim that that's not the case. Peaceful and weapons programs are exactly the same. They're completely different chemicals, completely different scientists involved in this. So this isn't really about nuclear weapons. This is about nuclear power. This is about trying to push Iran back into the third world, which it has escaped from maybe over the last 10 years. That's been a much bigger concern of the Israelis than stopping a weapons program that they know doesn't exist.
Well, they have said that, someone, I'm not sure who, has alleged that this scientist was actually responsible for the missile side of this. He wasn't actually responsible for the atomic energy side of it. He was responsible for the carrier that is used to deliver nuclear weapons, and what was he doing involved in this? So we don't really know what this guy was a scientist of. And the Iranians say that they're using nuclear isotopes for radioactive medicine, for chemotherapy and radiotherapy and the likes of that. Because, of course, you have to have radioactive materials in order to do that. So that's their excuse for this. I mean, my personal view is I just don't know. I don't know enough about it. Well, let's have a look and see whether Iran does have nuclear weapons capability. Having gone on record regarding its belief that Iran continued to maintain covert nuclear weapons ambitions, the Trump administration was confronted with the reality that it had, according to its own beliefs, empowered Iran to produce a nuclear weapon in a time frame that posed a direct threat to the US and its regional allies, in particular Israel and Saudi Arabia. This concern was behind recent press reports that President Trump was considering military options against Iran's nuclear program. So it seems there that America is convinced that they do have this capability. For Israel, the issues are even more acute. Whereas Iran's potential acquisition of a nuclear weapons capability would pose a policy conundrum for the US, for Israel, an Iranian nuclear weapon would represent an existential threat. For this reason, Israel has historically pulled few punches when it comes to confronting even the possibility of an Iranian nuclear weapons capability. While much of the intelligence underpinning the US and Israeli assessments regarding the existence of a nuclear weapons program are derived from sources of questionable provenance and are not conclusive, Israel has taken an absolutist posture. It's given credence to sources that otherwise might be consigned to the bottom drawer. Now, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, North Korea, they got nuclear capabilities. Pakistan, they've got nuclear capabilities. India's got nuclear capabilities. Is it really this nuclear side of this that is that important? Or is it the fact that the Iranian government are opposed entirely to the Israeli government? I think that is the more important thing here, rather than this nuclear weapons capability. And that is being used as an excuse. What do you make of that theory, Matt?
Well, I'll repeat myself here. It's these dozens of murdered nuclear scientists have all been involved at some level of nuclear energy, especially for medicine, as you mentioned, because Iran has one of the top high-tech medicine technology sectors in the world. People still have this prejudice that Iran is a third-world country. They are nothing of the sort. They're as advanced as anything else. They're certainly the most advanced country in Central Asia, the Middle East, even more than Turkey. That's the problem here. China exploded its first nuclear device in 1964. That was in the middle of Mao Zedong's mass slaughter of the peasantry. I don't recall anyone well, I wasn't there at the time, but reading anyone getting all upset about that. Iran does nothing of the kind. Iran has absolutely brought, they have chemical and biological weapons that they've done absolutely nothing with. And the Rand Corporation has come out a few years ago saying that the Iranian military posture is purely defensive. And if the Rand Corporation says that, they're usually a neocon group, you know, it's absolutely got to be true because it's their enemies saying this. So this is about nuclear power. This is about being able to transition from an oil economy to a, I mean, energy economy to something else. It's about pushing them back into the third world.
I think there is also this position here that Iran has against Israel, because they are completely opposed to them, aren't they? I mean, this, we're going to push them off the edge of the map into the sea. That was an exaggeration. They were talking about the government itself rather than the Israeli people. But they are completely opposed to them. And, you know, I think they're using this nuclear thing as part of an excuse. And what you're saying there is that it is the nuclear power that they don't want them to have rather than the nuclear weapon. Well, let's have a look at Israel's response here. In its effort to win support for this position, Israel has exaggerated, even fabricated, intelligence on Iran, undermining its credibility to such an extent that when Israel reported that its intelligence stole a nuclear archive from Iran in early 2018, the veracity of this claim was called into question after documents previously held to have been forged were then claimed to be a part of the document trove. Israel's actions against Iran's nuclear program have been anything but passive. In 2009-2010, Israel worked with US intelligence to launch a cyber attack called the Stuxnet virus to infect Iranian centrifuge operations at Natanz. This was followed by a program of targeted assassinations which killed four Iranian nuclear scientists between 2010 and 2012, with a fifth attack narrowly missing killing the head of the Iranian Atomic Energy Organization. Israeli intelligence is also said to be behind a series of mysterious explosions at Iranian nuclear-related facilities earlier this year, which caused significant damage and disruption to Iran's centrifuge program. While Israel has not taken responsibility for the assassination of Mohsin Fakhrizadeh, his murder can logically be viewed as a continuation of Israel's efforts to degrade Iran's nuclear capabilities. Joe Biden is no stranger to the active measures taken by Israel in this regard. As vice president, he sat in on critical meetings regarding the deployment of the Stuxnet virus. He was fully cognizant of the pressure being placed on President Obama regarding military action against Iran, and he understood the role played by the assassination of Iranian nuclear scientists in ratcheting this pressure up. So you see there that they've really been going quite overboard in their efforts to do this. But then there was this peace treaty, and Israel was not supportive of that peace treaty in any way, were they? They had the nuclear non-proliferation thing that Iran and Europe and America were going to do that Trump overturned, and Joe Biden has spoken about how he would like to go back to that. So what this could be is an attempt to prevent that from happening. What do you make of all of this, Matt? Israel's list of crimes against Iran here?
Yeah, I alluded to it already. There's, you know, again, no surprise here. Israel has barely even denied it. Even mainstream media, I was shocked to learn, even at the time, pretty much assumed that that was the case. But I want to mention Sheldon Adelson. This goes back to the two factions of Jewry working together, Soros on the one side, Adelson on the other. Adelson was Donald Trump's biggest donor. His donations to Trump's PAC is something like $25 million. This is a guy that wanted a nuclear attack on Iran not too long ago. He wanted an initial nuclear weapon to hit the Iranian desert so no one gets hurt. He's so stupid. He believes that would happen. And talking about terrorist attacks against Iran, he's been talking about this for a long time. Adelson is an evil man. I think the 20th wealthiest man on the planet. So, you know, he is the Republican version of George Soros. They have the exact same ideology, with the exception of what party they support. And you have Adelson, who is still tremendously influential in the Trump administration, financing so much of the campaign, or at least his PAC. And this is a guy who wants massive attacks on Iran. it's hard to believe that anything that, you know, Trump would oppose anything concerning any kind of attack or any kind of terrorist assault on the Islamic Republic.
Well, let's have a closer look at Israeli history here. On the phony pretext of protecting national security, Israel has a long history of assassinating Palestinians and others that it wants eliminated. Former IDF Chief of Staff General Dan Halutz once said, "Targeted killing is the most important method in the fight against terrorism." Of course, that is terrorism, isn't it? Targeted killing. Like the US, Israel's alleged threats are invented, not real. Destabilizing Iran is long-standing US-Israeli policy. Tactics include sanctions, sabotage, cyber war, assassinations, and other dirty tricks. In January 2012, prominent Iranian nuclear scientist Mustafa Ahmadi Roshan was assassinated by a powerful sticky bomb attached to his car. From 2010 to that time, he was the fourth Iranian nuclear scientist assassinated. Former Atomic Energy Organization of Iran head and current Member of Parliament, Fereydoun Abbasi, narrowly escaped an attempt on his life. In November 2011, Iranian missile expert General Hassan Mogadam was killed in a blast at the Bid-Banay base outside Tehran. In July 2011, gunmen on motorcycles killed Dariush Razanijad, a member of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization. In November 2010, a bomb attached to his car killed Iranian nuclear engineer Majid Shahirayi. And January 2010, a bomb outside his home killed Iranian nuclear scientist Masoud Ali Mohammadi. I do like the way they don't actually all call themselves Mohammed. That's a nice change for Muslims, isn't it? Matt, what do you make of all these assassination attempts here?
Well, I remember reading about these at the time. And you even had, you know, mainstream media saying enough already. There was no question that these were people involved in the peaceful side of things. They don't have any program concerning nuclear weapons, although I think that's crazy, given everything that we're reading about here. Their anti-Zionist stance could have been tempered over the years had Israeli not been involved in the mass slaughter of some of their top scientists. But this time, though, I think there's a problem with the transition of power here. I mean, I don't think it may happen. But Biden was known as being far more of a hawk than Obama. I mean, Obama was at least a figurehead for the so-called nuclear deal with Iran. But now you have Joe Biden, who is just a shell of a man, the perfect front man for the regime. To use, anything can happen. You know, if he gets in, he will have minimal authority. You know, they may prop him up, do like a Weekend at Bernie's with him, and cart him around as a figurehead. That would be the ultimate way for the regime to function. And then using Antifa to shut anybody up who disagrees. It really is perfect for them. But he's always been known as a militarist and a hawk and a terrorist. So there's no doubt about this. And so it really doesn't matter who wins as far as Iran is concerned, except that Trump does not want necessarily a war with Iran straight out. But I think Obama's handlers do.
Well, it's like Israel is doing all it can to ensure that they will never be peace with Iran, isn't it? I mean, they keep assassinating their top physics professors, keep trying to kill them, blow them up. And I mean, what is Iran's response to this? Well, Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif commented sharply on Fakhrizadeh's assassination, tweeting the following: "Terrorists murdered an eminent Iranian scientist today. This cowardice, with serious indications of Israeli role, shows desperate warmongering of perpetrators. Iran calls on the international community, and especially the EU, to end their shameful double standards and condemn this act of state terror." By letter on Friday to UN Secretary General Guterres and the Security Council, Iran's world body envoy Majid Takht Ravanchi said the following: "The cowardly assassination of Marjeh Fakhrizadeh, with serious indications of Israeli responsibility in it, is another desperate attempt to wreak havoc on our region, as well as to disrupt Iran's scientific and technological development. Warning against any adventuristic measures by the United States and Israel against my country, particularly during the current US regime's time in office, the Islamic Republic of Iran reserves its rights to take all necessary measures to defend its people and secure its interests." Now, we've gone through this list here of all these scientists that Israel has been assassinating or attempting to assassinate, are there any Israeli scientists that Iran have gone and assassinated? Has there been any tit for tat so far? I mean, I can't recall hearing of any Iranian terrorism or state-sanctioned terrorism happening in Israel. Perhaps it's been covered up and I just don't know about it. Matt, what are your thoughts?
I have not come across it over the last 10 years, or even an attempt. And you have, you know, even pro-Zionist bodies like Rand saying that the Iranian military doctrine, her institutions, her forces are purely defensive. And don't discount Russia's role here. Russia has been a big part of the Iranian nuclear power program and is heavily invested in it. And Russia has been the one that's been pulling the Iranians back from the brink here when it comes to violence. And of course, they're being provoked like the Chinese every other day. So this is a tactic to make sure that the Iranians try to retaliate. But I don't think they're stupid enough to fall into this trap. But as far as their intelligence services, which are probably the best in the region, involved in targeted killings, I've not come across it as far as the Israelis are concerned.
It's an amazing amount of projection, isn't it? You know, all we hear is Israel talking about Iran being the sponsors of terrorism, yet all we hear about in the news is Israel being responsible for terrorism within Iran and also in Syria. Well, is this Israel trying to drag America into a war? With less than 2 months of Trump's tenure remaining, was Fakhrizadeh's assassination a Netanyahu regime attempt to provoke Iranian retaliation in the hopes of getting the US involved in a war on the country? Consider the following. Mossad has a long history of targeted assassinations. Its dirty hands were likely all over the earlier killings of Iranian scientists. Most likely, it was responsible for Fakhrizadeh's assassination. The Netanyahu regime wants no return of the United States to the JCPOA, hoping to kill it off altogether, and that's the nuclear peace treaty. Trump did more to fulfill Israel's wish list than any of his predecessors. His actions included unlawful recognition of Syrian Golan as Israeli territory, moving the US embassy to Jerusalem, drafting a one-sided, no-peace Israeli-Palestinian peace plan, and arranging normalization of Israeli retaliations relations with the UAE, Bahrain, and the Saudis. While the Biden-Harris regime will one-sidedly support Israel like all its predecessors, it may not be as accommodative of its wishes as Trump. Most likely, it would want war with Iran avoided while continuing hostile US actions against the country short of attacking it militarily. Despite continuing wars he inherited and waging them by other means on numerous countries, including maximum pressure on Iran, Netanyahu's aim to get Trump involved in a hot war on the Islamic Republic is highly likely to fail. Based on the above responses by Iranian officials to Fakhrizadeh's assassination, retaliation in some form seems likely, short of what could explode the region into a hot war. And the Netanyahu regime may have more anti-Iran provocations in mind while Trump remains in office. I would really question whether Trump really has done that much for Israel, because I think a lot of it has just been cosmetic. They've been in the Golan Heights for a very long time. They've been in Jerusalem for a very long time. He recognized both of them. He did go and attack Iran, but he didn't go to war in Syria. And they really did want him to go to war in Syria. I mean, I do think that really all Trump has done for Israel has just been cosmetic, and it's just been enough to get them off his back. What are your thoughts, Matt?
I tend to agree with you. The moment where Trump got my support back during the early part of the campaign in for the 16 election was when he went to either the ADL or AIPAC, and I think it was AIPAC, and said, "I don't need your money. I have my own." And that was plastered all over the place, if you remember that, as, you know, Trump is an anti-Semite. Making his money in New York City real estate, if there's one group of people that Trump knows about, it's the Jews. So I tend to agree that it's cosmetic. The Kushner influence was disastrous, but he had a personal tie there. And so I'm you know, and he hasn't, you know, the Syrian intervention has been very minor compared to what like George Bush would have done, or I think what the Biden shell is likely to do. So now even in this area, making sure Trump stays in office is extremely important. I think they'll use this Biden cipher, whatever the heck this hunk of matter floating around is, as a way to start a war. Trump is extremely restrained, but I think Russia's role in restraining Iran is extremely important.
Well, we haven't had time to really get into Russia's role there, but if we don't want war in Iran, then we've just got to keep praying and hoping that Trump wins with his court battles, which are going on at the moment, to expose the fraudulent election. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.